The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
More with Bill Myers.
Delighted you're here. 12 minutes after 6, it is Find Your Phone Friday, 770-5633-770-KVD. Of course, every morning is kind of a Find Your Phone thing. You go ahead and join in, 770-5633. By the way, Facebook Live has been back for a while. Janet wrote me yesterday saying, well, you know, when are you going to bring Facebook Live back? Yeah, it's been back for a number of days. Maybe you're not just getting the ring the bell thing. So what do they call it? Subscribe or follow the Bill Myers Show page. And that way you'll get notified if you're watching it on Facebook. OK. And the other thing I would please say is that don't use the Facebook Live for kind of your personal Telegram thing. You know, kind of stick to show topics, things we're actually talking about, just in case. I mean, not pointing at anybody in particular, but there's sometimes I've noticed that there's a lot of back and forth, and it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And I just don't know if people actually come to the show to watch somebody else talk about their issues. You know, that kind of thing. But anyway. You can join in and instead of doing it on Facebook, you can always call the show and then we can talk about your issues that way. You know, since it is a talk show, all right? Talk here rather than talking on the Facebook page. 770-5633, okay? All right. Economic news, we'll have to talk with Rick Manning about this in the DC Swamp update. Looks like there is a bit of a wrinkle in the economy coming out. Now, of course, this is government statistics, okay? So a lot of times they end up getting revised upward or downward in some cases. But U.S. employers adding 175,000 jobs in April. It's a downshift in the pace of hiring. The unemployment rate ticking up to 3.9%. And they may be looking at a shift into a lower gear. A turn that economists have expected for months, this according to the New York Times, after a vigorous rebound from the pandemic shock. So we'll talk with Rick Manning about this. This is interesting because stock market futures just went nuts. Like the Dow was up like more than 400 points or something. And they're going, hey, things are going to go to hell under the Biden administration. That means they're going to cut interest rates. You know, that's kind of the assumption. That's the way this always seems to work. Bad news is good news for the pumped-up, heroin-infused stock market that is going on. Hey, give us some more of that mainline cheap money, baby. That's what we need. That's how the market seems to work these days. The financialized economy, what can we say? We'll see how that works. But I'm sure Rick, having been a former Labor Department guy, was it under George W. Bush? It was under George W. Bush. He's crunching these kind of numbers all the time. We'll talk with him about that here in about 20. Let's see. Axios reporting this morning that Democrats are nervous that campus protests could cause voters to rally behind Trump. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious, huh? Yeah. House and Senate Democrats' anxiety spiking, pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses around the country kicking into overdrive. The longer they continue, the worse they get. The worse it's going to be for the election overall, one House Democrat telling Axios. The demonstrations, the lawmakers warned, are bringing out the public's most conservative side. Because even a lot of liberals really don't like chaos. And Joe Biden is certainly casting himself as the candidate for chaos this year. All right. Meanwhile, nation of Colombia cutting all diplomatic ties with Israel. Wow. Colombia is set to break diplomatic relations with Israel over its actions in Gaza. Meanwhile, the judge in Donald Trump's case doing everything he can to convict Donald Trump. This is in National Review today. In the ongoing criminal trial, elected progressive Democrat D.A. Alvin Bragg doesn't have much of a case, but he has the judge, and that's all he needs. And are claiming that the judge is orchestrating Trump's conviction of a crime that is actually not charged in the indictment, conspiracy to violate the Federal Elections Campaign Act. Specifically, its spending limits. Well, we're kind of in a time right now where facts don't matter, and present the man and the judge shall assign the crime. And of course, you know, when you're Hitler 2.0, literally, you know, the way that some people describe president, I'm just kidding, you know how that goes. But they do describe him that way, right? Hitler 2, literally Hitler. Yeah, by the way, literally Hitler 2.0 Donald Trump delivering a pizza yesterday to firefighters in New York City. Yeah, he was looking very Hitler-esque. You're hearing the... yeah, you're hearing the horse vest. No, not really. The one thing you could really say about former President Trump is that, man, he knows how to play the crowd. He knows, you know, if he's going to have to be stuck in New York City for, what, 10, 11, 12 weeks over this ridiculous trial, he's going to go out there, deliver pizza, get together, go to the bodegas. Smart politics. It's smart retail politics, really is. 770-5633-770-KMED. Headlines a little closer to home. We had a bunch of students walk out of Medford High School yesterday, North Medford High School. This from KDRV. Nearly 200 North Medford High School students had a walkout yesterday. They're protesting proposed budget cuts by the Medford School District because of state funding shortfalls. Budget cuts will result in some elective courses being cut, and most notably remove the role of librarians. So no librarians in all the high schools. Protest organizer Brendan Boone said it's crazy to even talk about a school not having a librarian. That's incredibly essential and incredibly important to so many people. As a response to this, students held the protest where they marched to the corner of Crater Lake and McAndrews before heading to the district office. And while protesting at the district office, they spoke with Superintendent Brett Champion, who showed his support for the students as they protested the state's funding of local districts. Well, see, what has happened is that the state of Oregon, you know, has their formula, and they're still paying Medford School District, you know, what the formula would say, but it's not keeping up with inflation. There you go. Now, what I'm kind of wondering, you know, given that the kids just say, well, it doesn't matter if there are financial realities, I want my electives, and I understand wanting electives. I understand that. I remember when I was, you know, in school back in the medieval time of the 1970s, high school, at Edison High School, and I remember our band classes and choir classes, you know, the electives, that's the stuff I actually liked going to, you know, that kind of thing, stage band, did all those things. They were always on the bubble. They were always on the bubble. The nice stuff, the stuff that actually made kids want to stay in school, that was always, football always made it. You know, football was never in danger of being cut for some reason. In the band, though, we were always having to have candy sales and do all sorts of other things to, you know, keep it from going away. Football always got supported because, you know, not having football on Friday night, that would be like anti-American. And, you know, big rocks would fall out of the sky and screaming dragons would come be swooping and, you know, picking up animals and small children and carrying them off to hell, you know, if there was no football. Besides, that was also one of the reasons that the band would go out there. But anyway, back to Medford. It's all because of inflation, inflationary pressures on the district. And I wonder if instead of protesting the budget cuts, do you think there's a possibility that Brett Champion might turn this into a teachable economics moment with the kids and explaining how dangerous inflation is and how nobody wins under inflation except maybe profligate governments that borrow and borrow and borrow, and then they want to pay it back with cheaper depreciated dollars. This would be really great. It would be actually helpful to teach the kids why it's not keeping up. Instead of just, well, you just need to protest and ask for more. Because the state of Oregon doesn't have any money to give Medford School District that it doesn't steal from their parents first, whether it's via the property taxes and various other things or the income taxes. When they're saying more, 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 what they're really saying is that we want to take more from our parents and recycle it and launder it back into the Medford School District. That's the way public education works these days, doesn't it? The other aspect is that I know that they didn't say anything about any teachers walking out. It's just students walking out. But the other thing that you got to bring up is What about the compensation for the teachers? Part of that not keeping up with inflation are various raises and benefit boosts that are going to be coming to the school districts, the teachers and the people that are working there. In fact, the vast majority of the budget there is labor. And so, you know, maybe go over there and talk to the Medford Teachers Union. You know, go to the union offices and say, hey, quit trying to screw us kids by demanding raises for the teachers. I'm sure the union reps will be happy to talk with the students about that. Yeah, probably. What is it? The MEA or whatever it is? Whatever. I forget the name of the union. But, I know what it is. The union will be very, very sympathetic to the kids having their elective cuts in electives cut in the Medford School District, as long as the kids join the union. Because that's the way this works. We'll care about your electives being cut when you're a union member and you're paying dues. Okay, there's my little cynical take on public school politics and finance, huh? 23 minutes after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show. You're on KMED and KCMD.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Josephine County Republican Party is proud to endorse Dr. Noah Robinson for the Oregon Senate. A principled man, Robinson is chosen and supported by citizens rather than lobbyists. Dr. Noah Robinson is also endorsed by Oregon Firearm Federation, Oregon Right to Life, and many honorable senators, including Dennis Linthicum, Art Robinson, and Brian Boquist. Republicans win when they don't compromise their principles. In this critical time in Oregon history, vote for the candidate who will make a firm stand for our conservative Oregon values. Vote Dr. Noah Robinson, the citizen's choice for honest leadership, who puts truth before personal gain. Unlike his opponent who has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from big pharma and lobbyists, Noah's campaign is funded by the people. Josephine County Republican Party reminds you to vote Dr. Noah Robinson for Senate, a leader to reform Oregon. Paid for by the Josephine County Republican Central Committee, ID 319.
Jackson County, your vote counts. This May 21st primary election includes Democratic and Republican nomination of candidates, along with any nonpartisan candidates and measures. If you're not registered with a major political party, you'll receive a ballot with nonpartisan candidates and measures. Know when your ballot arrives at your mailbox by signing up at informeddelivery.usps.com. Postmark or deposit your ballot in an official ballot drop box no later than 8 p.m. on May 21st, but recommended that you mail by May 14th. Track your ballot as it leaves your hand when you mail or deposit in an official ballot drop box at oregonvotes.gov/myvote. Postage is not needed to mail. And don't forget to sign your ballot return envelope.
Hello, I'm Chris Walker, your Jackson County Clerk. For more information, visit jacksoncountyor.gov/elections.
Your County Clerk's Office, making sure your vote counts.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Lydex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your department of adventure.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
26 after 6, 770-5633 on Find Your Phone Friday. Rick Manning will join me here in about 6-7 minutes or so, and we'll talk about the jobs, the swampy stuff, the Trump trial, a whole bunch more coming up on the D.C. Swamp Update. After 7 o'clock, Mr. Outdoors kind of telling us, boy, we're getting back into a rainy, more wintery or late winter kind of pattern for this weekend over the next few days. Ron Smith's also going to check in. He is a candidate for Josephine County Commission, and I know that the ballots are dropping this weekend, people thinking about those kind of things. We'll have some open phone time, too. And Richard Emmons, publisher and editor of the Oregon Eagle, will be talking with me after 8:30. We're going to be kicking around the issues, why it's important to vote no on all these charter changes that are moving forward here that have been pushed into Josephine and Jackson County. I was reading the Daily Courier yesterday. I'm a subscriber to all the papers around here, you know, RV Times, Oregon Live, Daily Courier, and Oregon Eagle with Richard Emmons. And I was looking at Stoddard. Scott Stoddard had an editorial yesterday. He's criticizing the noxious politics which has been creeping into it and going after Mike Pelfrey intently. And I don't need to go through the whole thing, but I guess Mike Pelfrey ended up visiting a Christine Goodwin coffee meet and greet over in Rogue River last weekend and kind of got loud and people were saying it was obnoxious. At least that's the claim in the editorial. And so Scott was decrying this. And I put I tried to comment on the editorial. Scott didn't let me go through for whatever. I don't know why Scott wouldn't want me to comment on his editorial, on his comment, but I get it, Scott. All right, I understand. By the way, Scott, if you want to call the show, I'll be happy to talk with you. We can actually hash those things out. The only thing I wanted to say, I'm not a fan of yelling at candidates and things like that, but hey, it's a free country, and it'd be nice if we could be a little more polite to one another at times. I get that, and I think Scott was kind of going in that direction. But what I was trying to comment, and I think this is something that is worthy of consideration, is Christine Goodwin has had some trouble in some circles of the Republican Party because there's been this this push at obscuring. This is the residency deal, and this could have been taken care of. I talked with her, two, 3 weeks ago, about this, and it was like I couldn't get a straight answer. And I couldn't get a straight answer, and I was surprised to see Scott not mention that the Daily Courier had asked Christine Goodwin, candidate Goodwin, just let our reporter and our photographers come over and take a look. It's like, do you live on the winery property or do you live with your husband in the million-dollar home just 2-3 miles away? You know, that's the thing. The house or the studio on the winery is in the District 2, and the other house where her husband lives supposedly is not. And so this is that kind of thing. And people, a lot of people were bringing this up to me back in November and December last year. This has been going on a long time. And candidate Goodwin would not let the Daily Courier reporters on the property. Well, we don't want to get the ranch involved in this. And I think that some of the impolite incoming that that candidate Goodwin has had is based on this kind of stuff. We're going to do the two-step. Well, of course I live in the district, and this is a constitutional requirement. But every time you try to talk about that or get a straight answer, there's the appearance of trying to hide something. Now, Scott said in the editorial that, well, this is something that will be decided in court. Well, it doesn't have to be decided in court because I would hope that candidate Goodwin would just open the doors to the Daily Courier like they originally asked to say, come on down and take a picture. You take a picture of where we are here on the ranch. And then the problem goes away. And then the Mike Pelfreys are probably going to stop, yelling at the events. But yeah. The minions, as they were described. So anyway, when the evidence supports you, just get it out there. And if the evidence is supporting you, just get it out there. I think that's the best way to handle this thing. And everyone's talking about running on transparency. Just be transparent. Get it out there. And everything will be just fine. And then we just move on. We just move on and just talk about issues. Everybody says they want to talk about issues. But when you can't get back certain things, when you can't get past certain things, which are you even qualified to run for this position? Do you really live in this district? These are important things. There's a reason they're in the Constitution. And I understand why candidates are wanting to start to fight a little harder on such issues, especially when when there seems to be district shopping going on here. Well, I can't run for this. David Brock Smith is in this district where I live right now, so I can't run there because, well, you know, the caucus loves him. The caucus does not love Art Robinson, so when I say the caucus, I'm talking about, like, the lobbies and things like that. Then they say we need to move somebody in there. But be that as it may, I remember when there was a school district election in Medford. Was it last year? Maybe it was the election cycle before. But it was pretty clear that from the plain looking at it, that a candidate that ended up getting elected and was backed by many candidates, many local politicians around here in Southern Oregon, really hadn't lived in the district for the year that you're required to. And the person who was challenging this candidate just didn't feel like getting into the fight about it. And I don't know, you know, if we're going to have rules about you have to live in a district for so long, or whether it's a school district, whether it's a Senate district, whether it's a House rep district, you know, if we're not going to enforce these rules, why bother having them? And then we could just all have everybody like Ron Wyden, who everybody knows lives in New York City, you know, but claims to be our Oregon senator. We could all just be like Ron Wyden, and maybe we could have maybe the mayor of Medford could actually live in Portland. It says, well, you know, I have a studio over in the city of Medford, you know, over there, and it's over by the Greenway, and I come into town, you know, quite often, and I paint pictures of the homeless on the Greenway. You know, I'm over there by the roundabout by the fire department, or, you know, you do things like that. And then everybody can, you know, maybe we could be running for office in Portland from here. We could just do this, right? I mean, yeah, I know I'm just having a little bit of fun with this one, but the rules are pretty simple. Just live in the district, follow the rules. It's in the Constitution. And if everything supports you, just let it out there. Get it out there, okay? If the evidence supports you, show it. Let's move on. Starting the vote now, okay? 634 at KMED KCMD.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and your ability to navigate in any weather conditions. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
Access your stored items in comfort. Storage at Exit 24 has climate-controlled elevator access units from 5x5 to 10x30 that are warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and always well-lit and secure. Visit storageatexit24.com.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The April employment report points to a significant cooling of the hot job market. The Labor Department says employers added 175,000 jobs last month. That's much less than the 240,000 that analysts had been expecting. Also much lower than the 315,000 hires in the month of March. And the unemployment rate rose a notch. It was up to 3.9%. After issuing warnings to demonstrators, the NYPD moved in this morning to clear out protest encampments at the New School and at New York University, as follows yesterday's operation at Columbia University. Crews have been working overtime to reopen a stretch of I-95 at Norwalk, Connecticut, following a fiery crash that damaged a bridge and closed the busy interstate. They hope to have I-95 back in business by Monday morning. More details at srnnews.com.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-43-BIBLE. That's 844-43-BIBLE. 844-43-BIBLE.
A Southern Oregon tradition like no other.
The City of Central Point Wild Road Pro Rodeo, presented by Rogue Regency Inn and Suites.
On Thursday, May 16th, kids get in free.
Head to your local Bi-Mart and get Thursday night general admission tickets for just $20 and free kids tickets, all a part of Free Kids Night.
Many of the nation's top 20 cowboys, cowgirls, and national finals rodeo stock are coming to the home of the only 100-point bull ride for this national finals qualifying event.
All new Ranch Day on Friday and Saturday. Perfect for the whole family.
Kid-friendly dummy roping, pony rides, and more from 4 to 8 p.m.
So ride on down to the Expo in Central Point, May 16th, 17th, and 18th for the best Wild Road Pro Rodeo to date.
Starting at just $20, get your tickets online at theexpo.com.
The Wild Road Pro Rodeo is sponsored by Bi-Mart, Lifer Excavation, Better Built Construction, KTVL 10, and Your Town, Your Country, Q100.3.
Hello, Rogue Valley. Spring is here, and with it, Knox Classical Academy's annual spring banquet. Join us on May the 4th for a Saturday evening full of wonderful food and music, an evening dedicated to the important cause of making classical Christian education available to Jackson County's youth. Come kick up your heels with us at Jacksonville's Bingham Knoll and celebrate another year of excellence at Knox Classical Academy. Get your tickets and learn more at knoxmedford.com. That's knoxmedford.com.
Crater Chainsaw is fully stocked with Carhartt this season, and it's all on sale starting May 1st. Shop spring Carhartt specials throughout the store. There's a great selection of Carhartt for men and women. Long and short sleeve t-shirts, jackets, coats, pants, bibs, gloves, beanies, and lots of hoodies with Carhartt down the sleeve in a variety of different colors and sizes. On sale May 1st through Saturday, May 11th. Shop Carhartt at Crater Chainsaw for 58 years at 1321 North Riverside in Medford. Parking and entrance behind the building.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED. 99.3 KCMD.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. Mama told me let's go.
Every week, swampier than ever. But you know, I almost trademarked that also. The DC Swamp Update with Rick Manning, President of Americans for a Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. And of course, Rick is suffering through what, 88 degrees? In the swamp today here?
It's really nice weather. We've had 90 yesterday. Very little humidity.
Oh, see, that's different because I was talking with Cliff Bentz yesterday, and he was saying, yeah, it's going to be 88, but he was flying out to Minnesota to do hearings on delisting the gray wolf. It's been his latest cause celeb, right, that he's been working on here because you know, environmentalists essentially have the cult of love the wolf no matter what, doesn't matter how many cows that chews up, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, it's the gray wolf, the great gray wolf restoration is all about the elimination of any of cattle. It's the elimination of any kind of organized ranching, which, of course, they want to be able to do because, after all, cow farts.
Oh, yeah, of course. Although I did read that scientists are working on breeding a cow that does not put out as much flatulence for whatever reason. I guess they're thinking this might save. I'm kidding.
I know.
It's real.
I know. It's probably where taxpayer dollars are, I'm sure, paying for it. So.
Yeah, a Fauci cow, right? It'll be a Fauci cow. mRNA design cow. Fauci cow. There we go. All right.
That kind of stuff just freaks me out. And truth be told, it's scary, but we can, I mean, yeah, I've been freaked out about that stuff since they generated Dolly the sheep.
Yeah.
And then they promised not to do it again, of course.
I'm sure that scientists have stopped doing things like that everywhere, right? All the mad scientists. It's almost like the island. What is it? Has science turned the
island
world?
Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say. It's where I was going with the movie. That's where the science is going. The science, the singularity. We'll just upload our heads We'll upload our heads into the cloud and we'll live forever. Some of these people are pretty scary. It comes right down to it.
Well, you know, it's, take a look at Elon Musk's Neuralink and understand it's, he wants us to be connected to the cloud directly, and hence, you know, it's a, he's following the science and talk about the scary kind of future. But anyway, there is stuff going on in D.C. as usual. Next week, there's supposed to be a big fight over whether Speaker Johnson survives.
I wanted to ask with talk to you about that. I talked with Cliff about that yesterday, and he was explaining why he ended up voting yes on the FISA reauthorization, and also why he ended up voting yes on the foreign aid, because those, my email boxes have filled up on those kind of things. A lot of the conservatives have not really liked that. Has that been happening with you too over in D.C. at Americans for Limited Government? Have you been hearing from people about that?
About the not liking that they reauthorized FISA, or
exactly, not liking it, or is there lots of support
people,
for all this stuff?
Truth be told, I get a kind of a reaffirming feedback, because you know the people who tend to follow Americans for Limited Government have paid close attention to the abuse of power against President Trump. They know what the FISA court is. And they know how it's been abused, and hence they are much more assertive related to needing to reform or eliminate it.
Right.
And that's a good thing, but I can't give you what, you know, I can't tell you. I have a very controlled subset, so consequently I don't get a good.
Okay. In other words, you're getting confirmation bias. Essentially, it's what's going on there. All right.
I mean, people who follow Americans for Limited Government are going to have, you know, essentially, if they're mad about our opposition and pushing for FISA reform, they're not going to follow us. So they're not going to come back at us. So that's, you know, it's kind of.
Well, what I was going to ask you then. Well, what I'm going to ask you then about this is, and then let's talk about this, because it's all connected with the speaker's situation next week too. It's all part of a big blob, you know, at the moment. And the way Cliff described it to me is that he said there was not sufficient votes to have the warrant requirement for all Americans put into it. It was not going to happen. And the best that Congress was able to muster the votes was to put kind of not a poison pill necessarily, but to say that we're only going to reauthorize the anti-constitutional spy masters for a couple more years, and then the hope is that under a President Trump that some deeper reform could be done. Is that a reasonable explanation of what actually happened in D.C.?
It's exactly what happened.
Okay.
And you can blame Speaker Johnson. You can blame a lot of different people. But the fact of the matter is, you were not going to get – the decision was made that to not reauthorize FISA was a mistake. So consequently, they had multiple reform proposals that went back and forth. And quite honestly, the Intel Republicans said no to any significant reforms.
So the Intel Republicans, in other words, the people that get to see the juice, so to speak, the real stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And it's a – but, you know, recognize the Intel Committee in my –
Well, the Intel Committee is always there to scare people too. I mean, anytime someone's ready to rein in intelligence, then all of a sudden, oh, I was shown the secret room, and it's just like, what? Well, you know, see what I'm getting at? That's why people get so irritated by all this crap.
Well, yeah, they do, and you know, I think there's been the one guy who snuck in to become an Intel Committee chair or ranking member who wasn't part of the Intel community or military community at some point. Who got to be the chair, who was Devin Nunes. And Devin Nunes started saying, wait a second, this is crazy what you guys are saying, and pushing back. And he got an ethics investigation out of it, because, after all, they had to shut him up. And with that ethics investigation, Devin Nunes was turned into a pariah on the Hill. And very few people were saying, and he's putting out great stuff. He's putting out the truth. you know, Adam Schiff saying, "Oh, this guy's lying. He's trying to manipulate the data, blah blah blah," and ran a campaign against him. And quite honestly, there weren't a lot of the Republicans who were standing up for him. Now, fortunately, he represented the district next to Kevin McCarthy, and they were friends. So Kevin McCarthy didn't take him down. But in fact, Americans for Limited Government developed a good relationship with Devin Nunes, because in the midst of all that, when nobody else was saying anything to him and he was a pariah, we went in and gave him our Legislator of the Year award for standing up to these people.
Wow.
And so that was, you know, that's kind of, he's the only person that's ever gotten our Legislator of the Year award twice. So it is because he stood up for truth. And I will tell you, this is the part that kind of makes me think twice about my position, is 4 or 5 years ago when we asked him about this, he said, "We have to reauthorize 702, which is the FISA court."
Nunes said this?
Yes.
Okay.
And we were talking very specifically about it, and you know, it was a private conversation, so I can't share too much, but he said, "We have to reauthorize it. There's something else we need to do," but he never told me what the other thing we needed to do was. And now he's out of the system. He's running Truth Social for President Trump. But it is so that gave me a little bit of pause, the idea that, because I was just saying, let's just get rid of it. And he was adamantly against that.
Okay, yeah. So even if we don't get rid of it, though, what has concerned me is that somehow getting a warrant is somehow just so far beyond the pale, because, you know, everything that the federal government is dealing with is like an episode of 24 on Fox, on, you know, the old 24 show, right? It's just like
no, they're all pretending to be that, and you know, and once again, you go down the pathway on this, and you know, we have the FBI director sitting there and saying all the there's so many red flashing lights that I don't know what to do with them all, and the problem, of course, is that he doesn't see the mass organization of the cultural Marxists on campus after campus as being part of that.
Because, no, they don't see that. But I'll tell you what, the flashing red lights on the FBI dashboard, I'm sure, are more grandmothers who walked inside the Capitol building on January 6th after the cops opened the door. All right. Those are the flashing lights that I think that most of intelligence sees. Well, all right.
And that's the challenge with all of this. You always be operating. I tried to explain this in an article I did a couple of days ago, and I would encourage people to go back and go on to dailytorch.com and catch it. I was trying to explain why the Republicans are fighting amongst one another, and this conversation plays into that.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to this is they're essentially, and now this is going to get a little swampy, but there are essentially three Republican coalitions in the conference.
Okay, and with three coalitions, they're not united, right? We just want to make sure and clear before explain these, right?
Right, right. Well, they're not united. They agree on some fundamental things, but they don't agree on other fundamental things. You have the Freedom Caucus people, and I'm not just saying people belong to the Freedom Caucus, people think this way. They see that we're about to go over the cliff, and there's a point of no return,
mm-hmm.
and that action needs to happen now, and you have to take do everything you can right now to try to save the ship. Okay,
right.
The ship's on fire, and you have it's all hands on deck, and it's an urgent emergency right now. It has to be dealt with right now. The people who are, and then there's a group of people who see that the ship's on fire, but they say, you know, it's not that on fire, and we can,
I'm laughing. It's just like, oh my gosh, what a bubble brain.
yeah. Well, but they sit there, but they say, there's only, you know, we have to be realistic about what we can do to put out the fire
right now.
And so now, truthfully, when we have a majority, they say, well, we have to be realistic about what we can do because there's 60 in the Democratic, because you need 60 in the Senate. So a lot of those people, there's always an excuse why you can't do anything. But in this particular moment in time, there's people who say, I recognize there's a big problem. I am very concerned about the big problem, but I don't believe that we, but given the circumstances, there's nothing we can do about the big problem. And so, and I'm not willing to shut down the government or take extreme measures that would make it so we are forcing the problem to at least be talked about.
Is that kind of a go-along to get-along Republican caucus?
I think it's a standard, somebody who's legitimately conservative, they feel, they consider themselves to be very conservative, but they look at situations and say, okay, what can we realistically get done?
Okay.
And it's a, and I, and so then you have, and basically it's the position Cliff Benz took related to the, FISA court. Now he said, listen, we didn't have the votes to do this, so we did this.
Yeah.
It's the position that, it's the position when you look at the Ukraine spending and the Israel bill that got through, is I've laid this out, that particular example.
Yeah, you know, you want this, you got to give him that, right? That kind of thing.
Well, it's actually a little more sophisticated than that, but it's, there are, on the Ukraine bill, it was, there was a group of Republicans that said, I'm not voting to fund Ukraine. It's a boondoggle. We don't have an exit strategy. It's a waste of money. Okay, we've had that discussion. We all know what that means. The, and there were a group of Republicans who said, we're funding Ukraine, no matter what you say. The Democrats united around funding Ukraine for whatever reason. And I can't tell you why the Democrats are waving Ukraine flags in the air and not American flags, but you can.
Hey, I see Democratic voters in Medford with their signs, and, you know, next to their Democratic signs, there's, you know, Ukraine. So, yeah, you're right. There's a big
love there. The Democrats have consolidated around, you know, Ukraine for whatever reason. And so you have that. Well, what the Republicans, the pro-Ukrainian, the I'm going to call them the defense hawks, hawk Republicans, the same people are the intel Republicans who don't want to, you know, rein in FISA at all, or rein in our intel community at all. But the defense hawk Republicans, they basically said to Speaker Johnson, if you do not bring a Ukraine to the floor, and you can do it, you know, you need to get this to the floor. If you don't do that, if you keep blocking it, we're going to join with the Democrats who already have a discharge petition set. And we're going to join and get to give them 218 signatures on the discharge petition. And we're going to bring the bill to the, and the bill's going to come to the floor. The Biden bill's going to come to the floor unamended. And that's going to happen. You don't have a choice anymore. And you don't have a choice because Ukraine's dying and Iran just attacked Israel. So we have to have this money. Okay. That's what they said. And so they basically told the speaker, we're taking over the, we're putting this on the floor, whether you like it or not. Wow. And it had over, about 300 votes. I don't remember the exact vote total, but it's a pretty big vote total. So Speaker Johnson was standing in the way of a piece of legislation that was a bad piece of legislation. The emergency supplemental bill that Biden put in was $106 billion. It was a bad piece of legislation. He's standing in his way, and then he gets told, well, you can't stand in the way anymore because the tidal wave's going to overrun you. And so then he had to go and he had to figure out, what could you do? What could you cut out of it? How could you make this bad bill better?
And that's all. And that's all there was to it. There, that, okay.
And he did. We spent $96 billion rather that we don't have rather than 106.
Yeah, but you know darn well the Ukraine funding. I'm reading more analysis on this now that says the problem with Ukraine at this point is not that it is out of bullets, although
they're out
of men. Yeah, they're out of men. Yeah, that's just it. And of course, if we're going to be funding this now to send more bullets to a place that's out of men, next they're going to be asking for men, right?
Well, I read a story, and you always have to be somewhat cautious when you read things on the internet, even if it's from a supposed credible source. Yeah. But there was a story that there are currently people fighting in Ukraine who are under the who are wearing the uniform of various European nations. And so there is a...
I've read many of those same accounts. I know...
The inevitable drag, you know, we know that the United States has sent Joe Biden secretly in February sent a long-range missile, mid-range missile delivery system to Ukraine, which was used to hit Russian Moscow airport and Moscow airport by the Ukrainians. So we have supplied the guns to effectively bring the war to Russia and get off of Ukrainian soil, which may sound like a good idea, but that means we've attacked Russia. Okay. That's a, you know, you can put a lot of different spins on it, but that's what it means.
Boy, I'm sure that Lindsey Graham is happy. I'm sure that makes Lindsey Graham very happy.
He might. Well, Lindsey Graham's a really great example of this whole thing. Anyway, so you have this, ultimately, the problem Speaker Johnson has, we can finish the Ukraine thing, but the problem Speaker Johnson has is he does not have a Republican conference. He has three distinct constituencies. It's sometimes switch between who's in what, but it's three distinct constituencies. People who feel that we have to do whatever we have to do right now. The borders being overrun. We have this, and they're registering them to vote as
yeah, yeah. The house is on fire, and it's being burnt to the ground right now. So we better do something.
And it's being burnt to the ground. We have a Joe Biden who's so emboldened, so unafraid of any congressional action. He's actually talking about bringing Palestinian terrorists to America in a refugee program. People who none of their neighbors will take.
Oh yeah, bringing Gaza to the United States. That would be a great plan, right? Great plan.
At a time when our campuses are busy. Being instigated by people who probably weren't born here. Mm-hmm. So it's a you've got a pretty big problem, and Joe Biden wants to be he's an arsonist in the middle of a forest fire with a can of gasoline. So you're sitting there and you're looking around. You say that's a problem, and yet Congress, because Republicans have one vote majority, they don't have the capacity to do anything about it because they can't hold the one-vote majority against the Senate or the president, because there's always somebody who doesn't want to take the extreme action to make it work. So you've got Johnson's made the decision. The objective is to try to do as much as you can, make bills less bad than they would be, stop the ones you can, and live to fight in 2025, hopefully with a Republican majority. And the amazing part is the polls show that none of this stuff in Washington, D.C., all this infighting, nobody home knows about it or cares about it. Okay?
Interesting.
They look at it and say, you know, the Democrats are out of control, and we need to replace them. So we look at this all politically and say, gee, this is all this nonsense. It's going to hurt us politically. But the fact of the matter is, the average person back home, when you look at the polls, it has absolutely no impact.
Okay, well, that's the case. I guess that's good because Democrats need replaced. There's absolutely no doubt about
that.
All right.
Here's the key.
Here's
the key thing you can know.
Right?
If Trump wins, the Republicans are going to win the House and they're going to win the Senate. Okay? If Trump loses, the Democrats are going to win the House. They'll probably still lose the Senate, just because of the people who are up in the states that are in contest. So you have it's a reasonable thing. If you believe Trump is going to win, it's a reasonable thing to plan for 2025 and build an agenda towards 2025.
And that's essentially what Speaker Johnson is doing right now, because you don't have a governing majority. You're not going to be able to make much progress this year. Right.
The only thing you control is the committee system right now. That's the only piece of this puzzle he actually controls, because he doesn't really control the floor anymore. So given that, and I've had this conversation through a staff with them multiple times, let's put the 2025 agenda through the committee process, get the legislation drafted, get it all vetted and through the committee process. So in January 3rd, 2025, when you have a Republican majority, you can basically take those bills, put them in committees, and run them so they're ready to go, and hand it over to the Senate by the time the president gets inaugurated. And hopefully within 2 weeks of that, you're getting a large piece of it into law. That's why we can't. The biggest argument, again, sitting there and continuing fooling around trying to get rid of Johnson. Because you're going to have that discussion in December, mm-hmm. In terms of who you're going to pick a speaker if you've maintained the majority. But right now, the most likely outcome, if they get rid of Johnson, is you're going to end up with some kind of coalition government, which means you lose control of your committees.
And the one thing you don't want to do is lose control of the committees, from what I'm understanding here, because that's the only thing that Johnson has any control over right now.
Well, it's the only thing Republicans have any control
over. Okay.
We set the agenda by setting the committees. We can't even control the rules on the floor because various different Republican factions will vote against the rule if it goes against their faction. So he doesn't really control the floor, as proven by the forced Ukraine funding vote. What he does control is the committees are setting things up and for 2025, putting things into appropriations bills that aren't going to get passed, aren't going to end up in the law now, so that you have them vetted and ready to go for 2025. Because the one thing we can be sure of in 2025 is that the Congress will, in fact, it'll be operating on CR, the government will, March or April of 2025. They'll be funding the government for the next 6 months. If you don't have the system set up to set the funding of the government plans in place now, you're not going to scramble around in 2 months to figure it out. So get the job done now. Do the work now. This is like being a farmer. You have to prepare the ground. You have to plant the seed. You have to put the fertilizer down. You have to water the seed. And hopefully something comes out of the ground that's worthwhile.
All right. And so I would imagine you're going to be speaking.
We're not in a reaping stage.
Yeah, I would imagine that you are at this point of, hey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, God love you, but this is not the time. In other words, in spite of the fact
yes, I'm definitely at that point. And like I say, the hard part about this is, anybody's listening to me on the show has known that I am very frustrated by the failure to fight on a number of things. But at some point you have to look at what's happening around you and say, mm-hmm. well, you know, what can we do? And in analyzing it, the thing we can do is know that we're not in a season of harvesting. We're in a season of sowing.
Yeah, sowing. So it's sowing the seed time, not harvesting good policy. All right. Rick,
right.
I'm going to leave it at that note, I think. And we will deem you, I'm going to deem you Swampy Swamp Master. There we go. Explaining swampy policy. But it's true, though. People, you have to look at it because, like I said, I just get irritated. The listeners get irritated. The home people get irritated. There's a reason why it is the way it is right now. Okay? And so you at least are talking about the positive path outward from this and planning to have the actual governing majority, which we don't have anywhere near close to that right now. So read up more on this.
That's the unfortunate truth.
All right. And
thanks.
Now you said you talked about this very thing a couple of days ago. You have that up on DailyTorch.com?
Yeah, it's on DailyTorch.com. It's something, why Republicans aren't getting along and why
I just found it.
Johnson.
I just found it. Why the House GOP can't agree and why they should keep Speaker Johnson. And you lay it out. I'll get that up there, okay? I'll put it on my blog today if you don't mind. All righty?
Appreciate it. Not a problem. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Rick. We'll talk next Friday. Good talk.